Hey everybody, this is Kevin Bass from thedatwars.com, and in this video, I'm going to be systematically demolishing a reel that was recently released by Paul Saladino. This reel encapsulates the core of his arguments for why we shouldn't eat plant foods and we should eat animal foods instead, and in particular, the supplement line that he sells online, which has made him into a net worth individual of $15 million. Let's watch the video and let's take it apart.
You've been told that plant foods like these vegetables are good for you because they contain antioxidants. This concept is pure bullshit. In reality, these vegetables contain plant defense chemicals that are pro-oxidants. This isn't trust me, bro. This is validated medical science. This is how it works. Your body contains antioxidants, and the pro-oxidants in these vegetables increase your body's own antioxidants. That sounds like a good thing until you realize these plant defense chemicals have other negative side effects, messing with your digestion, messing with your hormones, inhibiting nutrient absorption, all kinds of problems. And also, you can get all the antioxidants you need out of your body by eating an animal-based diet and heat, sauna, cold, exercise, sunlight, and fasting. Meat, organs, fruit, honey, and raw dairy? Get the vegetables out!
What I will be doing first in this video is breaking down his argument into its simplest components and summarizing it for you, then taking it apart piece by piece. His argument essentially consists of this. Plants contain compounds that will activate beneficial antioxidant systems in the body. However, they contain some downsides as well, including messing or interfering with digestion, hormones, and nutrient absorption. Therefore, get your nutrition from animal foods, which do not have compounds that cause these problems, and activate your antioxidant defense systems instead with heat, sauna, cold, exercise, sunlight, and fasting. In other words, replace something good with downsides with something good without downsides. This is his core argument. In other words, specifically, forego eating plants and get your nutrients from animal foods, especially those from Paul's supplement line, and improve your health through these other modalities. Here is why this argument is wrong. First, and this is the smaller argument, but no less important than the second argument, but it's much shorter. Plant foods only have downsides in relation to dose. And this goes for all foods, in fact, as we'll see in a moment. The body contains inherent detoxification systems for all foods, plant and animal. And it maintains homeostatic regulation, balance, in other words, to allow it to continue functioning properly. That's what I mean by homeostatic regulation. It maintains homeostatic regulation in response to small perturbations in its physiological, biological systems. If it didn't have this capacity, eating any kind of food and metabolizing it would not be possible. Now, here's the second argument, and more concretely, animal foods, heat, sauna, cold, exercise, sunlight, and fasting, just like plant foods, all have potential dose-dependent downsides, many of which are quite serious. Again, just like plant foods, all of these animal foods and all of these other modalities also have their own toxicities and downsides that Paul is not telling you about. He's selectively reporting only the downsides of plants and not of animals. Let us now discuss this. For animal foods, these downsides include, for example, birth defects from excess vitamin A. This is a particular issue with liver. Just 30 grams per day of liver alone raises your vitamin A intake levels high enough to increase the risk of birth defects in human infants. And this occurs in the first 6 weeks of gestation before many women know that they are even pregnant, which suggests that these sorts of foods and supplements, liver pills in particular, should be contraindicated in women who are expected to be replete and adequate in vitamin A and are of childbearing age. These would be contraindicated because of such the high levels of vitamin A exposure. He doesn't talk about this, however, which is actually quite dangerous. That's right. Vitamin A causes birth defects in excess intakes, which is possible consuming just 30 grams of liver per day or just a few servings of liver pills. Okay, another toxicity, potential toxicity in animal foods is copper toxicity. And this also occurs in the context of liver and liver supplementation. In addition, iron toxicity. 1 in 11 Europeans have genes for hemochromatosis, which means maintaining a higher body level of iron. If consumed in excess in people with these genes for hemochromatosis, one can have excess levels of iron in the body, which can cause all sorts of health problems, including premature death and all sorts of problems. Also problems with the liver, metabolism, a whole bunch of things due to excess iron intake. He doesn't mention this. If you consume too many of these liver and organ pills, you can get excess iron in the body, which is toxic and can cause you to die earlier. Large doses of B vitamins, while they may promote brain health, in particular vitamin B12, folate, and B6 in combination, which animal foods contain abundant amounts of, while these can promote brain health, and I promote them for that purpose, they can also undermine heart health for people who are at risk, or they have the potential to undermine heart health. There is some evidence for that being the case to such a degree that I am concerned in that respect with regard to excess intakes of folate, B6, and B12 together. He doesn't mention this potential downside of these nutrients and excess intakes thereof. He loves to mention downsides of excess intakes of plant nutrients, but not of excess intakes of animal nutrients. I wonder why. There's a $15 million reason why. But let us not forget the LDL promoting properties of saturated fat, and in some individuals, perhaps up to 20% of dietary cholesterol. LDL cholesterol, contrary to anything that you might have heard on the internet, is necessary for cardiovascular disease to develop. And the higher levels you have, the higher your risk in a log dose-dependent manner. And that's just animal foods. Let's talk about the other modalities and their potential risks. Before I do so, though, I want to emphasize that all of these modalities and animal foods all have potential benefit if consumed in appropriate quantities and not overconsumed and for specific purposes. They all can have potential benefit. However, one should not communicate only the potential benefit. One should also communicate the risks. For plant foods, likewise, there are many potential benefits as well as risks. We'll talk about this more in a moment, but let's talk about now the issue with his modalities that he talks about. First, heat. Animals housed at higher temperatures have a shortened lifespan, and animals housed at cooler temperatures have a longer lifespan. Is heat really longevity promoting, as he is suggesting in this reel that he released? What about sauna? Sauna increases heat shock proteins. Isn't that a good thing? Well, in some contexts, perhaps, but if you overexpress heat shock proteins, which is what you would have if you had chronic exposure to a lot of heat, this has been shown in animal models to again reduce lifespan by increasing the amount of cancer. Furthermore, sauna undermines fertility in men. Remember, men have something called a scrotum. Why do men have a scrotum, and why are the gonads of a man not internal? This is because in order to undergo optimal spermatogenesis, the testes need to be at a temperature lower than that of the body. The sperm are highly sensitive to higher temperatures and will die if they are exposed chronically to higher temperatures. Well, guess what? Just 2 sauna sessions per week over the course of 3 months has been shown to reduce sperm concentrations by a full 75%. This is consistent, again, with the existence of the scrotum. For men already at suboptimal fertility, this could spell the death of their ability to have children. Thankfully, it is reversible by about 6 months, but it does exist and should be borne in mind as a potential risk of sauna use. And this is just 2 sauna sessions per week in healthy men. What about the effect of more such sauna sessions on healthy men? Could this cause such men to become infertile? This is clearly a major downside of sauna, or potentially an upside, depending on your goals. But Paul certainly doesn't mention it. Why not? Because it would wreck his narrative. Let's talk about cold. Contrary to popular belief, cold exposure does not reduce inflammatory markers, and it even poses a risk of sudden death from heart attack and other cardiovascular and cardio and cerebrovascular events. Indeed, even Andrew Huberman, a staunch advocate of cold exposure, somebody who hypes it to quite a great degree, he even acknowledges this, as I've shown in another video. In this video, in fact, I showed that a young mother of 3, she was in her 30s, recently died from excess cold exposure in a river in the UK. She died suddenly. And again, I cover this in that video that you can find on my channel or podcast. Let us not forget exercise. It is possible to exercise to excess, and in such a way, undermining one's skeletal system, one's joints, and creating greater risk for osteoarthritis. Similarly, excess exercise has been linked to early sudden death from something called hypertrophic cardiomyopathy in people who have a genetic predisposition. Excess body size due to exercise, a lot of weightlifting, a lot of eating, can lead to cardiomegaly, an excessively large heart. Also, excess dilatation of the ventricles and a resultant failure of the heart. It's clear, therefore, and this is not the end of it, there are other risks as well, but it's clear, therefore, that even exercise is not without certain risks that must be taken into account in a dose-response manner, and exercise itself must be treated as a stressor that needs to be regulated and done in measured amounts and not to excess. Similarly, sunlight, it poses risks of both cancer, skin cancer, and accelerated skin aging. As I know, as somebody with a melanoma diagnosis, I had a melanoma diagnosed on my arm in the time when I was running around with no shirt, living ancestrally in the sun, and I very quickly got one of my moles turned into a melanoma. Paul wants to deny these risks, but they are well documented, such as in two important case studies, which I will show on this screen. One compares a 62-year-old Native American woman to a Japanese man in his 60s. The woman was out in the sun every day, all day, without remit, and she correspondingly looks like a mummy in her 60s. Likewise, the Japanese monk was inside all day, every day, and has relatively good skin still, even though he's in his 90s. Here's another case study, one comparing one side of this trucker's face to the other side of the trucker's face. The man's face saw sun exposure predominantly on one side, and it aged accordingly. You compare it to the unexposed side, it is night and day. This is a perfect example of a case study of somebody whose skin aging was accelerated by the sun, and no, it can't be explained by seed oils. If it could, then both sides of the face would be aged, or neither. Certainly, one side is much more aged, and certainly this Native American woman, whose photograph was taken in the early 20th century, I think 1905, she did not have access to seed oils, except them fine Native American seed oils, which they industrially produced before Columbus came to the Americas. I'm just kidding. Obviously not. Finally, let's talk about fasting and the crazy zealotry around fasting. And I should know, because I was once one of those zealots who loved fasting. I thought it was the most amazing thing, and I told everybody, despite being very miserable all the time when I was fasting and wanting to kill everybody around me. Although fasting has been bandied about to improve well-being, this has never actually been documented in human studies. In fact, fasting in human studies overwhelmingly tends to increase irritability, increase anger, and impair cognitive performance. Now, the argument that fasting zealots make when one says this is that maybe after an adaptation period, these effects go away. But do they really reverse? Does fasting, which originally undermines mood and cognition, suddenly reverse to eventually enhance them? It seems unlikely because the body doesn't tend to respond that way. Usually what happens is you have negative effects first that your body increases tolerance to that become less severe over time in such a way that you no longer experience them to the same degree. But it's not usually the case biologically that one has these adverse effects in one direction that then flip in reverse and suddenly you have cognitive and emotional nirvana. And certainly after 2 years of fasting, in my case, that wasn't the case. And I don't tend to believe people who think so. What's happening with fasting zealots who promise the world about fasting? And again, I used to be one of these zealots, is that they are telling themselves stories about their altered state of mind and mentality to health wash fasting and make it out to be better than it actually is. If they critically reflected on their fasting practices and switched back and forth between fasting and non-fasting states, they would quickly discover that these alleged benefits simply do not exist. As I once discovered when I experimented with fasting and then long periods of not fasting, I became a much more happy and tolerable person to be around. And I know many people who have had a similar experience. But again, we don't have any data to show that. We have short-term data on fasting. So you can try it yourself. But if you are somebody who strongly believes in fasting, I ask you, please try to prove me wrong. Say, send me a message. Say, Kevin, I'm going to try to prove you wrong. I'm doing a period of non-fasting. I've done fasting for all this time. I'm going to try to prove you wrong. And I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to show that you're wrong, Kevin. Try to prove me wrong, and I want to hear what your story is when you do that. But let's go back to the topic of interest. It seems clear, in other words, that all interventions, all modalities that are promoted to promote health, or in fact may in some cases actually promote health, all of them have downsides. All of them. As I've pointed out again and again and again in the many different examples here, they all have side effects. And these side effects, importantly, are dose dependent. The body can handle a certain amount of toxicity, but then increasingly the body loses its ability to regulate in a homeostatic manner and deal with that toxicity, which is why moderation often seems to be the key when it comes to food. That's why nutritionists and dietitians advocate for a balanced diet and not the excess consumption of any food, which raises the risk of toxicity in excess. And yes, this does occur with animal foods and with quite a great frequency, which is something that Paul never discusses. In fact, his animal foods that he promotes on his website are so nutrient rich that if they are consumed too often, can and will cause adverse health consequences in people who are vulnerable to these, perhaps even to a greater extent than something like kale, which he hates, which is quite ironic. In other words, you should be aware of what downsides are and what upsides are to an intervention and make your calculation accordingly. Do not be fear-mongered into one way of thinking, and especially if this means buying somebody's supplement line. Again, Paul Saladino has a net worth of over $15 million and now records these videos from the comfort of his mansion in Costa Rica. Due to the videos that he's making, he has this mansion. Even if someday I could conclusively show him to be wrong, which I think this video goes a certain distance to doing, if not actually does, he would never admit it because his entire livelihood depends on the promotion of what is clearly a fallacious narrative that leaves out important and, in fact, critical details in such a way that distorts the truth to an unrecognizable extent. Thanks for watching the video. If you would like to check out my social media, check me out on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok at Kevin and Bass, KevinNBass. You can check out my Patreon at the same Kevin and Bass, KevinNBass, and help support me. The more financial support I get from you, the more I can do these videos because we can then hire a babysitter. I cannot have to take such a burden of taking care of my kids all the time, and I can focus on making more videos as I finish up my PhD and my medical degree. So please donate. Also check out my website at thedietwars.com. You can also go to thedietwars.com/support-me. You can find my videos and my podcasts at The Kevin Bass Show on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, as well as KBass Philadelphia on YouTube. Search that in the search bar, KBass Philadelphia, and you will find my channel. Please leave constructive feedback and constructive comments. Don't call me ugly. Please point out where I'm wrong with the science and don't just say that I'm wrong. If you say that, Kevin, you're wrong. Kevin, I don't like this. Kevin, you're off base. You will be blocked. But if you have specific points that you can make, even if you're completely wrong, you will be welcomed with open arms into the comments section to discuss them. And I will respond to them because I appreciate everybody who makes a sincere and well-intentioned effort to engage me at an intellectual and scientific level on an equal ground. I admire that. Even people who are completely wrong, people who try, will be honored in my comment section, but people who summarily dismiss and insult me personally will be blocked immediately. That said, I do greatly appreciate positive feedback, but I also appreciate negative feedback. If there's something I can do better, if you can make your comments and criticism very detailed and specific, I appreciate that enormously because each and every day, in fact, each and every week, I can think people can see noticeable changes to my presentation style and the way that I record these. It's actually changing me even as a person. I enjoy the development process that I'm undergoing, and your negative feedback, critical and constructive, it has to be constructive, is critical for this, and I greatly appreciate it. So please do not be afraid to leave negative comments, but make sure that it's clear that it's done in a spirit of generosity and charitability. That's all I ask. And if you do that, I need that from you. Is there anything else? Write a review or rate my podcast on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify, especially leave a review, a written review. We need more written reviews. I need lots of written reviews, but just rate it at least, and that will be much appreciated and helpful. And if you find these interesting and useful for you, share them far and wide. Share this video far and wide with your friends and your families, and let them know about Kevin Bass, The Kevin Bass Show, DietWars.com, and let them know I'm coming for people who make false claims, and I'm going to go correct them and help people to understand what the actual situation is, as opposed to some fairy tale somebody who's making a lot of money is trying to sell. Thanks for watching. Check me out for the next video/podcast. See you guys soon.